regular council meeting for April the 11th, 2017 is called to order. I do not have any changes or alterations to the agenda. A motion to approve the agenda circulated would be appreciated. Deputy Mayor McLeod moves. Seconder Councilor Frelick. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion? It is approved. Thank you. We have nothing under 3.0 presentations today. Are there any tabling of petitions today? Any tabling of petitions? Third time. Any petitions to be tabled? Hearing none, we will move on to 5.0, public question. Any members in the public gallery have any comments or questions today? Please state your name and address, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robinson, Common Street, Liverpool. Just a couple of things. Under 15.2 strategic priorities, I would assume that our CAO will give a little explanation there as to where they stand and so on, more information on them. And the other item, as I mentioned a couple of times before, with respect to public input before the budget was tabled, and the last time I mentioned it, it was still under consideration, but I guess that went to the wayside and they were not strictly to the budget presentation here today.
Yes, Leon. It's been a very struggling time during this budget, as you can appreciate. Staff have worked hard to come forward with a recommendation today for zero tax increase and to maintain the rates from last year.
That makes me feel pretty good.
It's before us today, and we will see how the vote of council takes that. In that respect, we have through the year been listening to the public and what is on their minds. It's very difficult to provide new initiatives without additional money. And at this point in time, with what we are working with, it was felt that we're doing the best we can with the dollars we can raise based upon our tax rate and the impact of citizens. So the result today is the end of what we had accomplished.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, any other members of the gallery would like to speak to you?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Bill Cox, 121 Barber Road. A couple of points. It's good to see that the allocation of funds for the Queens County Senior Safety Association, that has been a position that has been very demanding for a long period of time. And I can't imagine anybody performing that duty in 208-hour days. So to see a recognition of that in the budget is very very heartening to me, to see being a senior and knowing what's involved there. Also, I would like to thank our Director of Finance and members of council for holding the tax rate. I see we have a razor-thin surplus, but at least it's a surplus. And that is very much appreciated. I haven't had time to review the budget to see what other items might be there, but I hope that the recommendations will be approved and that among the many things that seem to be going up that are tax rate-based. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Thank you for your comments, very appreciated. We will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council meeting minutes of March 28th, 17. A motion to accept would be in order. Councilor Fisk moved. Seconded Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? All those in favor? Moving on to 6.2, minutes of the public hearing, March 28th, 2017. A motion to approve and accept would be in order. Councilor Kelly moved, seconded. Councilor Frelick, any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor? It is approved. 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. I have nothing to bring forward under that today. 8.0, economic development. I have nothing to bring forward under that today. 9.0, CAO's office issues. Nothing there today as well. 10.0, engineering works. Nothing there as well. 11.0, finance. We have a fair amount there today. And our director of finance, Jennifer Ian Buten, if you would like to give us a briefing on.
So these pie charts are actually from the FCIs, so those municipal reporting tools that are online and available for everyone to see. This is part of the profile that Municipal Affairs puts online. It does show, obviously, that the Region of Queens relies a little less heavily on their taxes and their tax rate, property taxes, than the other municipalities do, but bearing in mind we have the landfill facility, so we have offsetting revenues or additional revenues from that landfill, so revenues from owned sources would be higher for us. Also comes into play later on in the FCIs when you see the reserves or the contributions to reserves, ours being a little bit higher than others. It's because of the regulatory piece around post-closure contribution for landfill. So just another point of note and something that we were keeping in mind, of course, during budget preparation again this year. It's the only three marks where we don't actually hit the provincially defined threshold on those FCIs, those financial condition indexes. Uncollected taxes, well, you know, like we had said before, it's kind of a sign of the times in the economy lately, and we work diligently with residents with outstanding taxes and are, you know, rather lenient on the payment arrangements we make. So we do have a large amount of uncollected taxes, although we don't have a large amount of residents who are just completely ignoring their property taxes. It comes into play with the many payment arrangements that we have made. The 3-year change in tax base, another key factor in the budget this year, and part of the difficulty in holding the tax rate was the fact that our assessment base, so that which we are able to base our property taxes on, or that which generates the revenue for our property taxes, is below the threshold. So we're not kind of meeting that gain in assessment base as other municipalities are kind of meeting that FCI. And again, our commercial property assessment as a percentage of total taxes, our commercial property assessment doesn't meet the threshold that's been defined by the province. And further to that, it just kind of shows that we have a little bit more of a burden on the residential resource rate than the other municipalities might have.
Jennifer, excuse me.
Yes, Deputy Mayor.
Jennifer, when you talk about the uncollected taxes, are you referencing, is it over a period of years, or is this just the past year, and is it numbers, or is it the dollar value?
Dollar value, currently outstanding.
Currently outstanding, but that would include previous years.
It would.
Not just so. Is there any change in the annual increase? Like, are we lessening it for 2000?
We are.
Okay.
So the other point to make with the FCIs is this is based on March 2016 year end, not this year coming. We have improved, and we improved March 2016 over March 2015, and that number is the total value outstanding, so all the previous year's arrears as well as the current year, as a percentage of the current year's billing. So that which was billed out just in the 1 year, this is a percentage of the total that's outstanding for, you know, 6 or 7 year periods of the current year's billing. This is just more colors in this pie chart than the ones coming forward, but it just shows again, the largest percentage is the light blue, the 32%, that's the transfer payments, those which the municipality can't control, defined by the province and their calculations. And our second larger piece of the pie is the offsetting maintenance of our landfill facility and our solid waste facility. But as you saw before, we had higher revenues as well to offset that, and that is a net calculation which does not affect the tax rate and actually contributes slightly to a reserve towards building around the next cell and the next, so the landfill is a self-supporting balancing set of accounts. So 32% of our expenses are the transfer payments, so our education levy, the PVSC, so Property Valuation Services Corporation, the assessment services. They create the assessment rules that the assessment values for us that we then base our tax rate on. We have our RCMP contract in this category. The corrections is in this category. And the Western Regional Housing Authority, our contribution towards that community organization. The general government services, so that's the council and their expenses and anything related to their seminars. We have the administration, so all the administration staff salaries. We have the maintenance of this building in this category. And our communications budget is also in this section of our budget. Protective services, that's where our RCMP contract lies, so that's been removed. That's in the 32%, the transfer payments. And then remaining in that is the bylaw department and the building inspection and our fire services, our volunteer services and their grant money and their funding. Transportation services, so that's our maintenance of roads and streets and sidewalks. Our road levy is in the 32%. That's been removed from this budget line item, and that's about $245,000. And then, of course, our snow clearing would also be in this budget, and our salt provision. Environmental health services, that's the portion of the budget where we maintain our solid waste facility and our materials recycling facility. Also in that department would be the sewer. So the maintenance of our septic facility. This is a very small piece of our budget. It looks like a large amount in the draft budget. When I take into consideration our total expenditures, I've removed Hillsview Acres, about $1.2 million from that budget, because they are fully funded by Health Authority. So not including them, the small residual that's left in there is the amount for the Housing Society, the $90,000, has been removed, is in the 32%. And then our maintenance of the former Mount Pleasant School, where we hold the Adult Learning Center and the daycare and the food bank. Environmental Development Services, so that's our planning and our economic development departments. Couple hundred thousand, 250 probably in planning, and another 500 in economic development. Recreation facilities, so we have our Queen's Place budget in this category. We also have the maintenance of our very many parks and playgrounds that our grounds crew and their salaries, the grounds crew salaries will be in here as well. We also have the cultural services, so we have the maintenance of the Old Town Hall, Arts and Cultural Center, and the recreation budget for programming is in here as well as the library contributions, which again are set by the province and beyond our control, though I don't include it in the transfer payments because it's not actually a provincially defined number, but it is a contract number which we don't have control over. And it's about $78,000, $79,000. this is the budget line item where we contribute to our reserves. So we maintain a schedule of all of our tangible capital assets, and throughout the year we're allowing for depreciation, we're allowing for regular maintenance and the replacement of our vehicles for our works department, as well as our landfill reserve contributions are here as well. You'll recall that in the capital budget this year, $3.7 million was the expansion, necessary regulatory, of course, expansion of our landfill facility, and we didn't borrow for that. It was fully funded by the reserve transfers, and again, the self-balancing set of accounts. Our revenues offset our expenses, and the surplus is transferred into reserve for our later use. We also have our sewer reserve transfers in there.
Yes, Jennifer, the when we talked before about the landfill, we said the landfill is self-sustaining, you know, that the money we get in helps offset the that doesn't offset part of this $3.7 million, then that we have to do this to do another sell. So it isn't really self-sustaining in the such that we have to put money back in reserve to be able to build for another sell. Is that
continuing on? Although, if you looked at how if we didn't have our own landfill facility,
right,
and we had to contract out, we would be behind in the payment. So included in this reserve transfer is the cost of our residential commercial pickup being deposited at our landfill and then fully offset and not tax rated either, right? So we're providing a service for ourselves while also offsetting all the expenses to run the facility.
But again, it's just maybe I don't understand it fully. That's why I have to ask it. Because it looks like when I look at it that way, it looks like this costs us a fortune. Because if we're having to put money aside to do a sell, and then
but the money
the
we're
other
putting
thing
aside
else is just sustain, just to sustain.
The money we're putting aside is the revenue generated over and above the expenses. It's always the surplus of the revenue accounts offset by all the expenditures.
Okay.
There is no expenditure for landfill left within the general operating budget that's offset by the tax rate.
Okay. Can I continue on?
Council Fancy,
if you don't mind. Because what I'm saying, like I said, my mind just can't go grasp this, so I have to ask it. Because if we're making money off this, they just put back into the fund, the reserve, to offset putting in getting a new cell, maybe 10 years down the road or whatever it may be, why do we have other monies coming, like we have debt repayment that's going into there that's going to offset this? So I don't understand why we're still putting money in there if this is the money that we're making off this is going back into there that offsets it. Like, you know, does that make any sense to you? Because
not exactly. No.
Okay. Well, if we're saying that it's self-sustaining, and we're taking the money that's made off of this because there's money coming from Shelburne and such, and we're making money and we're putting it into a reserve to build for a new cell in 10 years' time. So that should be also self-sustaining, unless
it is.
It wouldn't be worthwhile to put in a new cell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I thought we had other monies, like we had two debts that came forward this year that they were repaid, and then we're putting some more money back into the landfill from that, which why would we do that if it's self-sustaining?
So those debts that were repaid,
okay,
again, were not tax rated.
That's right.
They were fully funded by the landfill revenue.
Right.
So we've not removed anything from our general operating budget,
right,
that was affecting the tax rate. The difference with those debts being repaid, so there was one in landfill the year before last, and there
right
was one in the sewer reserve
absolutely
year
right
before last. Those are simply increasing the reserve transfer. And again, none of the expenditures for either the sewer or the landfill affect the general tax rate in any way.
No.
And therefore, the landfill fully funds the portion of that service that we use, the portion of that service that the Region of Queens uses for its resident and residential and commercial pickup,
right,
is fully sustained by the landfill revenues. So included in our expenditures that we offset against that reserve transfer is all the service that we use for from that facility so that we are not paying someone else for it.
Right.
And as well, we still have a surplus that we transfer into reserve. So there is absolutely no expenditure related to solid waste or solid waste pickup that the landfill's revenue doesn't fully cover. So there's no general tax rate for anything landfill solid waste facility related.
Right.
Make sense?
For the most part,
well,
no.
I can try again later.
Okay, you're still on the same topic, and I don't want to belabor it anymore, but I think what you're asking, what you're trying to explain, Jennifer, is it's completely self-sustaining. If we did not have the landfill operation, we would then have to pay an external company or
mm-hmm.
municipality for our waste management.
Yes,
okay.
There would be a cost for
so
us to transfer
okay.
it elsewhere.
Right. So when you it's all collected now through our monies coming from other municipalities are paying, offsetting our costs.
Right.
So we're very 100% self-sustained.
Correct.
With the exception, do we have a contract though with the people that pick it up? But that comes out of that fund as well?
It does.
Okay.
Also fully funded.
Fully funded by
the landfill revenue. Anything expense related to our solid waste facility and our materials recycling facility is offset fully by the revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And only that net difference is transferred to reserve, and that net difference is always positive.
Mm-hmm.
As well as post-closure, which again, we have to fund a reserve for a certain amount of money that in the future should we close and have to cover and fill,
mm-hmm.
Fill in the landfill. There's a huge regulatory piece and a large amount of money that's required for municipalities who have landfill facilities to build a reserve towards. These revenues also fully fund that regulatory piece of that post-closure money. So in the monies collected, we are also building to the tune of about $300,000 a year, that reserve, post-closure reserve, separate and apart from our landfill reserve that we consider our own money towards the expansion of the reserve later. But again, we would have to be building that reserve regardless because it's provincially regulated. We would have to be building that anyway, and those revenues fully offset that as well.
Yeah. I understood all that part. It was the other part, but I didn't want to hang with it. No, I'll forget about it.
Councilor Fitz?
Jennifer, very well put. Good business.
It works well, right? Another reserve transfer in this category is the sewer reserve. And again, user pay are all of our sewer fees, also fully fund and offset all of our costs for operating the sewer, so the septic facility plant, the collection, transmission, and the administration piece around the sewer is also fully offset by the fees related to the sewer and the disposal of various contractors at our septic facility, and that is a net positive transfer to reserve as well. And you'll note this year in our capital budget, we had the school and Main Street projects, which are, we were lucky to get the CWWF, right, the Clean Water, Wastewater Fund money for offsetting those, but that's 75%. So we still had to have 25% of our own money, and you're not allowed to stack. So because there was a federal component to that funding piece, we weren't allowed to use gas tax then to fund our 25%. Those sewer reserves, that offsetting user pay reserve transfer has been building over these years, is now able to fully fund our debenture for our 25% of those two projects. So it's $2.1 million, 25% of that is municipal cost. We will borrow for our 25%, and it will be maintained by the sewer reserve. And again, it won't affect the tax rate. It will be fully funded by sewer reserve transfer money because we've been building for that reserve as well.
Councilor Krill?
So Jennifer, there's a huge movement in the world to divert from landfills. And so the business plan that we're talking about now, that we're raving about, may work right now, but what happens in 10 years when there's a real push from environment-friendly side of the world wants to divert, and so we're not getting what's happening right now, and we're not, that business plan no longer works? How are we approaching that?
There will be something. There will be a requirement, because we will still have waste. My assumption is, if they do make changes, provincially regulated
mm-hmm.
changes, I'm sure there'll be a cost to retrofitting, renovating, and upgrading current facilities for that effect, right? So we're going to need some money, I would say, more than likely, to make whatever changes are necessary. I mean, when we built the septic facility, that was $300,000 because we could no longer have, you know, the kind of quaint little simple disposal of septic that we had before, and we had to build the plant with the all this specialized equipment and the disposal, you know, and everything had to be disposed of differently and in a better way, and there was a cost to that. Again, the sewer reserve funded that, $300,000 that was. When we built the water treatment plant, that was regulatory changes. So regulatory changes caused us to have to create a different or better or, you know, technical new and improved facility, and we had reserve money for that as well, and it was over $6 million for the new water treatment plant, and I believe we borrowed $800,000 at that time. So there's always going to be a need, more than likely. There's going to be a need for some kind of facility, and I would say we'll have to retrofit what we have, or we'll have to shift in what we do, and we'll end up having to have money to pay someone else to do it in a different way.
I guess my point is that we shouldn't be waiting for regulations to come out. We should be, as environmentally friendly, should be leading the way on how to divert from landfill. And
well, until they tell us how to
like,
do that.
But no, but that's what I'm saying. That's, we shouldn't have to wait until they tell us, because as you know, the part of the green movement that we're always talking about, we should be now looking at ways to divert from landfill.
We have education and curbside enforcement.
I think it's a much bigger conversation. It's okay.
Councilor Jones?
No, I think just to tag on to what Councilor Frelick said, if we can do this right in the future, is what you said, there will be less going into the landfill and maybe getting more, you know, revenue in, similar to what the dairy product group does to help offset some of those costs. So if we can do more, the education piece is huge, and we understand that that's, you know, that's a piece that we need to continue to work on, education and enforcement, to be able to sort and understand where we can generate more revenue from the landfill piece, because, you know, our agreement with the municipalities and who have these landfills is, it's huge to this business. You know, we're investing into our future. We need to have that strategic plan there to figure out how we're going to put less in the ground and get more back into recycling.
And you recall too, West Hants pays us
yeah.
diversion credits.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, $50,000 roughly each year comes in as a revenue to us for diversion credits. We're one of the higher on the list, but of course, as regulations change and the movements are changing and there's committees and, you know, better practices are being formed, we will always adhere to and follow. But I think that building our reserve is really our best option now, because it prepares us for whatever those regulatory changes may be going forward. And our contracts with other municipalities are 20 years. So it's not really an immediate concern for us, but of course we'll always keep ourselves in the loop and be on top of whatever's coming next.
Councilor Kelly?
What is that diversion fee?
So there's a Region 6, it's out of West Hants municipality, and it's based on the amount of recycled materials that end up being sold back to or picked up by or transferred to RFB that are not in landfill. So there's a measurement, off the top of my head, don't know what that calculation is, but there's a measurement according to waste diversion, so recycled materials that are sent off to Scotia Recycling or RFB, resource recovery, and there's a measurement of all the municipalities in this, this side of Nova Scotia. And then there's a fund, a Region 6 fund, which kind of rewards municipalities for maintaining a certain amount of diversion. For now, we are within, there's a moving threshold to be met, and we've been within that threshold for the last few years. So because of that, this kind of reward fund for the amount of waste that is not directly input into residual landfill, there's a reward fund that is divvied up amongst multiple municipalities. So for us, it's about 50,000.
I think we're getting off the topic, and I really feel this could be a really, really good discussion, and everybody that has their questions can, and it is an excellent discussion on waste management, and I think we should do that at another time.
So noted, Deputy Mayor. It's information that's important and it's helpful, but we are straying a little bit, I would agree.
Just a little bit.
If we may, let us come back to the presentation that Jennifer's provided.
So the transfers, which is the other piece that is within this, is the building of the reserves, of course, towards our various equipment reserves. And as we said before, we maintain a schedule, and we know after so many years what replacement is necessary, and we build reserve to that effect so that we do not have to incur that additional cost, interest in borrowing for those replacements. And removed from this category is the $2.8 million in education levy, which is included in that 32%, again, the transfer payments. So just to recap, in that 32%, those which we consider to be beyond our control because they're provincial calculations, we have the education levy, it's about $2.8 million. We have the RCMP contract and corrections, $2.2 million, $2.4 million. We have the payment to PBSC, so the Property Valuations Services Corporation that determines the assessment values for us, the assessment role for which we base our tax rate on, is about $312,000. And we have the Housing Authority amount. There's $90,000. That's a complete estimate in this budget because it's a number that's not known until the year ends. And our contribution is determined at that point in time. So yes, we were able to maintain last year's tax rate. So just as a comparison, real quick, this is where we sit, and I know you can't see probably the names from there, but we are in between. This is the residential rate in the districts 1 to 12, so the former county, between West Hants and Inverness. At $1.02, all area rates in. And again, when we did these comparisons, these are based on last year's rate. So our 16-17 rate, everyone else's 15-16 rate. And we're not sure if we're always comparing apples to apples because we're not sure whether they have all their area rates included in the numbers that they provide. But everyone's tax rate is available online, and that's where we've gotten this information. But we're not sitting too bad, obviously. So District 13, former town of Liverpool, $1.90. We did maintain the area rates again this year for Liverpool at the 91 cents on top of our base of 99. This puts us in between Stellarton and Windsor. And I believe is actually a couple of cents difference in there, so we could move a couple cents either way and still maintain our status in the listing. So rural commercial rates, districts 1 to 12, we sit at 212. So that's our 209 base in our 3 cent area. We're in between Victoria and Yarmouth. And again, it looks like we're kind of right in the middle of the board. We're not too high. We're not super low. This one's interesting. Commercial rates, former town of Liverpool, so district 13, we're $3. We could actually move 15 cents up and still maintain our current position in this list. And right now we're between Mahone Bay and Annapolis Royal. I think the end. Do we have any other questions? I don't think we kind of exhausted questions, didn't we?
Thank you. presentation. Could we have some lights, please?
Camera action.
This way.
Okay. We have the recommended motions in front of us. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take us forward on 11.1 bracket 1, Brooklyn Recreation Committee?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a 4.5 cent area rate for the Brooklyn Recreation Committee.
Do I have a seconder for that? Councilor Muse? Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Deputy Mayor, would you like to go with 11.1 bracket 2, Brooklyn Cemetery Committee, please?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a 1.5 cent area rate for the Brooklyn Cemetery Committee.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. 11.1 bracket 3. Area rates, Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves that area rates be charged to residential, commercial, and resource assessments, and that the rates are applied as follows. Assessment districts 1 to 12, accept assessment account numbers 10148820 and 10462223, road levy 75%. Assessment District 13 and assessment account numbers 0148820 and 10462223, debt charges District 13 100%, roads, streets, and sidewalks 75%, equipment costs 75%, hydrant charges, central water system 100%, general paving out of operations 100%, ball field operation 100%. Assessment districts 1, 3, 5, and 6. Hydrant charges, properties connected to the Liverpool central water system or that have the ability to connect to the system.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Muse? Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It is carried. Thank you. Deputy Mayor, would you like to proceed with 11.1 bracket 4, operating budget and tax rates?
I'm sure glad I got a glass of water. 11.1 bracket 4. That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the 2017-2018 operating budget, reflecting an operating surplus of $2,927 and expenditures in the amount of $19,244,339, which represents the tax rates for Assessment District 13 and assessment accounts 10148820 and 10462223 as follows. Residential base rate of 99 cents per $100 of assessment, plus an area rate of 0.91 cents per $100 of assessment, or 0.77 cents per $100 of assessment, not connectable to the water, Liverpool Water Utility. Resource base rate of 99 cents per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 91 cents per $100 of assessment, or 77 cents per $100 of assessment, not connectable to the Liverpool Water Utility. commercial base rate of $2.09 per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 91 cents per $100 of assessment, or 77 cents per $100 of assessment not connectable to the Liverpool Water Utility. And that the following represents the tax rates for assessment districts 1 to 12, with the exception of assessment accounts 1014-8820 and 1046-2223 as follows. Residential base rate of 99 cents per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 3 cents per $100 of assessment. Resource base rate of 99 cents per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 3 cents per $100 of assessment. Commercial base rate of $2.09 per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 3 cents per $100 of assessment. Commercial seasonal base rate of $1.57 per $100 of assessment, and an area rate of 2 cents per $100 of assessment. And that an area rate of 14 cents per $100 of residential, commercial, and resource assessment in assessment districts 1, 3, 5, and 6 that have the ability to connect to the Liverpool Water Utility.
Seconder, Councillor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to receive 11.1 bracket 5 water utility operating budget?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the 2017-2018 water utility operating budget, reflecting revenue of $729,755 and expenditures of $712,656 and a surplus of $2,599. And that Council approves the submission of the 3-year water utility operating budget for the fiscal years of 2017-2018, 2018-2019, and 2019-2020 to the Nova Scotia Utility and Review Board.
Seconder to that motion? Councillor Fancy. Any discussion on the motion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Thank you. We now have 11.1 bracket 6 capital budget. Deputy Mayor.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the capital budget for 2017-2018, reflecting expenditures of $2,562,900 to be funded as follows. Province of Nova Scotia, CWWF, $528,725. Federal Government, CWWF, $1,057,450. Fundraising, Skate Park Association, $20,000. Transfer from Reserves, Special Operating Reserve, $528,725. Special Capital Reserve, $100,000. And equipment reserve $328,000 for a total of $2,562,900.
Seconder for that motion? Councillor Mews. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Now we have 11.1 bracket 7 due date on taxes. Deputy Mayor.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the due date for taxes for the region's assessment districts 1 to 13 for the 2017-2018 taxing year of June the 1st, 2017, and that 1 month's interest is to be forgiven if the taxes are paid on or before June 30th, 2017.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Trevor. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? That is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Mayor. We'll move on now to 11.2, grant to organizations. Councilor Mews, would you like to make the lead on this?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve. Kevin. Oh, sorry. Oh.
I'm going to take one as well.
Okay. So it'll be noted that Councilor Freilich and Deputy Mayor McLeod have declared a conflict of interest. Please proceed, Councilor Meadows.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the following awards under grants to organization. Friends of the Hank Snow Society, $8,000. Liverpool Ukulele Society, $3,000. Midway Area Communities Association, $1,000. Mersey Band Society, $750. Milton Heritage Society, $750. North Queens Board of Trade, $1,500. North Queens Heritage Society, $750. Privateer Days, $10,000. Queens County Learning Network, $1,000. Winds of Change Dramatic Society, $750. Farmers Market, North Queens Board of Trade, $1,000. Queens County Fair Association, $8,000. Queens County Museum, $5,000. Queens County Senior Safety Association, $4,750.
Seconder for that motion, Councilor Kelly. Any discussion on the motion? Councilor Stanton.
Yes, I think we put a lot of time into this and looked it all over, and it's a lot of interesting asks and such is, but the one thing that, of course, is going to stand out to me is our Queens County Senior Safety Association. That $4,750, I think, is a great idea of us coming forward to where we were, to where we're going to, but I believe that we need someone there 5 days a week. And as I've argued all the way through, I think that what I'm hearing down in Lunenburg area, that they talk something like in Lunenburg County is something like $1 a person, which if we did that, it would be around $10,000. And that's where I still feel that we should be $10,000 for that to have a 5 day a week job, because most counties are doing that. And I think it says 2012 we're going to be 25% over 65. I think it's not a person that we'd be voting for, but a position, and I think that position is needed, and I think that should be in here, so I will be voting against it.
Councilor Johnson?
I echo what Councilor Freilich Fancy said about the process this year. It seemed to be much more fair, and the end result, with the exception of the Queens County Senior Safety Association, fits very nicely. You know, I'll support this motion based on the fact that our ties to our strategic plan and seniors in general in the region, that we need to come back and revisit funding proposals and how that actually works for that association. But overall, very fair, as long as it stays on our radar somewhere in the near future for next year's budget, I think it's a very fair and equitable process. But we can't lose sight of that very key element on the seniors' safety.
Thank you, councilors. Any other discussion? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? Thank you. It is passed. Would someone like to ask our two councilors to return now? Absence of the councilor, I'll be resuming very shortly. Okay, under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, do we have anything to bring forward on it? Councilor Kelly? Kelly?
Yeah, at this time, as the Adam B. representative on the board of the Queens County Minor Hockey Association, I'd like to recognize our Queens County Minor Hockey Association Adam B. Cougar team, who this past Friday won for Queens County Minor Hockey the provincial Adam B. championships. And I'm just going to read a little note here about how that came about. The South Conference winning Queens County Cougar Adam B. team participated in the RBC Provincial Day of Champions on Friday, April the 7th at the LCLC in Bridgewater, taking on the North Conference winners Cape Breton West, Port Hood, Mabou Islanders for the provincial title. The Cougars took the game with a 6-3 victory over the Islanders to become the provincial Adam B. champions. And congratulations to all the athletes and coaches on a successful season. And proud to be displaying the Southern Conference Adam B. banner for 2016-17 and the Adam B. provincial banner over at Queen's Place, as well as a very sizable trophy, which they also brought home from the championships last Friday. So congratulations to all the Adam B. team.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Anything else under recreation today? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
This may qualify under recreation or maybe under Queen's Place, but I happened to read the Chronicle Herald this morning under the sports, and there was a really nice compliment by, you know, the games between Liverpool Privateers and the Pictou Scotians. There was a really wonderful comment by the manager of the Liverpool Privateers about the wonderful support Queens County has given to the teams, and that this is the only location that they've had tremendous support, and really appreciate all the efforts of the people involved. So it was really nice to see that in paper today.
Yes. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
The game tonight.
Great.
Yeah.
I believe that article also mentioned the quality of the facility as well.
Yep.
Great. So we're ready to move on to 13 planning. 13.1, we have the vending bylaw. 2017,
it's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give first reading to the bylaw number 16, a bylaw respecting vending, and that the Council approve the installation of an electrical panel on the former Legion property identified as PID number 7002-6711. In an effort to improve service infrastructure to the Liverpool waterfront.
Have a seconder, Councillor Fisk. Any discussion? First of all, before we go to discussion, I'll let our planner, Mike McLeod, give us a quick reading.
Yeah, I guess as a follow-up to Committee of the Whole meeting in March, staff was requested to go back and revisit the draft vending bylaw that was presented at that Committee of the Whole meeting. And looking at a number of suggested changes that were made by councillors and a number of members of the public as well. So staff took back those comments and revised the draft bylaw, which is attached in the package as Schedule A to the discussion paper. Just quickly review, I've highlighted the changes that were made to the original draft from last month. One was, I guess, on page one, group vending. It was suggested a clarification around exactly what is group vending be placed in the definition section. So that was incorporated. There was comment made regarding the times which vending would be allowed to take place, and that they were not suitable. So changes were made to those vending times as well to reflect 11:30 vending are not allowed to vend or vend between 11:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m. the following day. So I guess these time frames reflect what we have for times under our noise bylaw. So they are sort of extended those proposed hours. There was also comment made respecting the signage for mobile food vendors who would be vending at the proposed former Legion site, that
the 10 feet from the vending area was not suitable for vending at the open vending area for mobile food trucks. So, and yeah, just given the location, the distance from the sidewalk, that we've increased that for that location to 100 feet, so they'd be able to place their signs in closer to the road. We've incorporated a copy of the application form as part of the bylaw, so that's included. We've set out a requirement that any necessary provincial or federal licensing or permits, depending on the type of operation, vending operation that's being proposed, that I guess, for example, the provincial food establishment license, that those copies of permits would be required to submit at that time of application as well. So those were, I guess, the main highlights of the changes as have been suggested from the previous meeting.
Any comments or questions of councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I have a question, Mike. Where it says there, all vendors who wish to vend in the vicinity of the Liverpool waterfront, does that mean that when a vendor asks for a permit, they can request to vend from other areas in Queen's County on municipal property?
That's correct, yeah. So specifically, if they want to vend in the vicinity of downtown Liverpool, that's the location that they would vend from. If they want to vend from other areas, Tupper Park, whatever, if the municipal owned lands, that they would be able to do so by indicating that on their permit.
Okay. Also, what is the reference to improvement to service infrastructure on the Liverpool waterfront with the installation of a electrical panel?
I guess with the proposed installation, which would I guess the mobile food vendors would be allowed to utilize. I guess the installation of that service would go beyond servicing the mobile food trucks. It would benefit privateer days or other events or users of the Liverpool waterfront area. So it's not specific to the mobile food vendors. Others would have that ability to tie in as well. So.
So what is the cost? There was no information in this package about the cost or any specification or where this panel will be located or any information whatsoever about this electrical panel. Do you have any details on that?
I guess the electrical panel would be on, I guess, the former Legion property. There still is servicing to where the former Legion was. It's just buried at the present time, so it's a matter of exposing that and putting in a pole and a service at that location. So the wiring is there. It's just a matter of tying it into a panel. So.
But we don't have any costs, or we don't know where that would be located, or what it would look like, or
the specific. No, and I think I guess we've had an estimate from our electrician of about $2,000 to install a panel at that location. So.
I just have a question, Mike, just a clarification. When it says the timing, Jen, under the vend between certain hours, now that if, for example, privateer days, that doesn't qualify or have any regulate, or they're not regulated to this timing if they have vendors within their park? Are they classified as a group vendor?
I believe, Brian, they have, you just get a group vendors license for
okay.
Those, yeah.
And this includes group vendors?
Yes, no, it would.
Because sometimes they have people that are selling certain things once the entertainment time is still open, then there's groups that go in and have a vending license and sell, like... Put that in your ask? Okay. So then you're exempt from this bylaw. You can apply for an exemption from this bylaw then if they want to have someone selling hot dogs or something after 11:30 at night. Is that possible?
Yeah, I guess that wasn't, I guess guess the bylaw applies to, I guess, all vending within. Now, whether that could be a special ask, whether that could be at the time of application, but I guess the bylaw would certainly apply, so.
Exemptions from our liquor policy come before council as well.
Okay.
It would fit into the same category.
Just makes it awkward.
Yeah, no, and I guess when it was reviewing this, it was unaware of that.
Because the Chamber of Commerce and QCCR always, you know, used to have a vending license to do, sell some, you know, food or whatever.
And that would go beyond that timeframe?
That would go on, that 11:30 timeframe.
Yeah, so I guess we just take that into account, I guess, when we're looking at special events, that if there's, yeah.
Ask for exemption from that, same as liquor. Okay.
Councilor Trevor?
So with this recommendation, what you're saying is that if somebody comes in looking for a vending license, that the waterfront next to the BIC is not available. Is that correct?
For mobile food vendors, that's, yes, that's correct.
So they don't have the option to go there at all?
No, not in the proposed bylaw, that's correct.
Councilor Johnson?
I got one question and one comment. And I'm just, Mike, I'm trying to figure out, say for instance, we were able to attract something like they're doing at the LCLC, what is it, the barbecue thing?
Rib Fest.
You know, with all of the more vendors and what the space can hold, is there flexibility in this bylaw that you interpreted that we could accommodate something like that? And the second piece, which is a comment, depending on what we're doing around the infrastructure for the electrical, I'm really concerned that $2,000 figure might be a very low ball figure. But that's a comment. But the question is there enough flexibility in this to accommodate special occasions? Should we be fortunate enough to attract something like that?
For like, I guess that would fall under like a group vending if there was multiple vendors that were coming on. So I guess if there was a special event, for instance, that could the grass area, and I guess talking mobile food vendor, food trucks, is that,
yes.
Is there, I guess, extra capacity within the former Legion property to accommodate? We've got a large grassed area for a special event that could perhaps be utilized outside of the vending stalls that are currently indicated in the bylaw. So.
Okay. Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, Mike, also too is you talk about special events, and we say, okay, anybody can apply for a license for a special event, right? So that can somewhat supersede what we can do here if we allow it. Now that goes for grassy area and such as that, but say down by the BIC, just want to understand this, is that when we have our own bylaws of saying, you know, the parking spaces and such as, which we've got, this has been part of the issue, what we've talked about, could you do for a special event asked to go against what our regulations go in the parking spaces? Just wanted to understand that.
Yeah, certainly for special events, I guess that's to council, like privateers days, for instance, sends a request to council for the area that they wish to utilize. So
right.
We've made provision in that vendors would need to relocate if the former Legion property was to be included in that special event. So it would be up to council if they want to utilize down with the BIC for as part of a special event. That's council.
Okay.
So.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Mike, please correct me again, but I just happened to see something here under the times as well.
Mm-hmm.
Page 3D, it says here, no person or group licensed under this bylaw shall occupy a vending location before 6 a.m. or after 12 p.m. Now, 12 p.m., isn't that noon? Should be 12 a.m. But then you're contradictory to the one before. You've got 11:30.
I guess that's your operating times. I guess under item A, you operate until 11:30, and then after 6:30.
Okay.
So that's your end and your stop times, and then the 6 o'clock and the 12 o'clock would be your set up and take down time. So you have to vacate the locations of your vending locations by that time, or you can't arrive at your vending locations prior to
Okay, so the occupy is the key word in the deed.
Yeah.
But that should be 12 a.m.
Excuse me, I'd like Deputy Mayor McLeod to clarify your timing and your question, if you may, regarding to Section 5 A and B on the times. As I read that, it says that no person or group licensed under this bylaw shall vend between 11:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m., which indicates that the vending will be shut down during the night.
That's right.
And B, occupy a vending location before 6 a.m. or after 12 p.m., which means that a vending truck is not allowed to be parked overnight. That's the intention as I read of it, and I wanted to be sure that everyone's clear in that meaning. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yep. So that should be 12 a.m., not 12 p.m.
That's right.
So midnight.
Yeah, midnight. Yeah.
So, are you going to move an amendment?
I will move an amendment.
Deputy Mayor McLeod has moved an amendment that number 5B be amended at 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. Is that correct, Deputy Mayor?
It's correct.
Do we have a second for that? Councilor Muse, any discussion on that amendment? Ready for the question on that amendment? All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous on the amendment. Do we have any further discussion on the motion as amended? Councilor Frelick first.
So previous, we talked about to the farmers market as far as planning and looking at options for them in on that Legion property. With this recommendation, what happens to those plans? That's my first question. And how do we move forward with that for the farmers market? And the second part is, my original question was, if we no longer want vendors on the pavement next to the VIC, what are the plans for that area that is our major water frontage? What are the plans for that that's causing this to happen, that vendors aren't allowed on that waterfront area?
Well, I guess the primary use wouldn't change. That area by the VIC is designated as a parking area for both recreational vehicles as well as regular vehicle parking. So I guess it's the intended use of that was parking, and that would remain the same.
But during our last session, we talked about the ability to take those lines out to accommodate a certain number of vehicles that came on a first-come, first-served basis. And I was under the assumption that we sent that away with staff to look at that, and yet we've not addressed that at all in this recommendation.
Well, I guess that certainly would be council's decision if they wanted to change the intended use of that area.
I guess that was our decision last time.
I don't believe that was council's decision.
No, there's been no discussion that reached a conclusion on that issue, and staff were to take all the comments back and come back with a recommendation on a revised bylaw to present to council, which they've done today. And it's my understanding that that's council's staff's recommendation to council.
That's
in what we have presented before us.
Okay, but council had concerns that that wasn't happening, and here we are. So you're making that recommendation. I, as a councilor, still don't feel that that's appropriate, that we should be allowing vendors on the waterfront. So I guess if I'm not in favor, I won't vote, but it still doesn't address what the future of that area is.
And that can certainly be determined at any time in the future. This is a actionable item. The decision that we make today can be revisited at any time in the future regarding amendments, changes of usage within that downtown area. So unless we have a amendment or a motion today, we're dealing with what's before us.
And I didn't get a response to what's happening to the farmers market on that Legion property, because that was an outstanding issue.
We have no motion before us on a farmers market on the Legion property. We've had discussions in the past on a good many locations and decisions that can be made, but we have none before us.
Does this recommendation wipe out those conversations?
It does not. Any bylaw can be changed. It's a act of council, so I think that's a bit outside of the motion that's before us today, but I understand your concerns, Councillor Kelly.
I think they're connected.
I have a note here that I have Councillor Kelly next to speak.
I have a real problem with this recommendation, the vending bylaw being lumped in with the electrical panel, because there's no information on here to vote to recommend on a I don't know how we can vote on or vote in favor of an electrical panel when we have no detail whatsoever about costs, definitive cost, and what it looks like and what it's going to be if we vote on this and we have no idea how much it's going to cost, with no numbers in front of us to actually do that. I think that if the electrical panel is being discussed as improved service infrastructure for the parks or on our waterfront, then that needs to be discussed as a separate issue. If we're going to improve infrastructure on the waterfront with an electrical panel, because lumping it in with the vendor bylaw makes it look like that we're creating a vendor market and providing electrical panel for the purpose of a vending market that's going to cost taxpayers money to put this electrical panel in to satisfy a complaint that from bricks and mortar businesses that they didn't want them on the waterfront near the bridge in that parking area in the first place. So I do have a problem with that, and because of that I will not be able to vote for this bylaw. And if I just want to make one other point, I think that's it. I'm done with that.
To respond quickly to your comment, it's my understanding that the figures which Mike McLeod provided in the $2,000 range have been provided for as an expenditure in the budget, am I correct? So we do have the dollars allocated should this proceed, and it was there to address the noise and the fume issue which were raised during discussions regarding the generators on vending trucks as an option. So I wanted you to have that information prior to your vote. Councillor Fancy, you next.
Yes, the one thing that Councillor Muse has brought up here before, and I think it's a very valid point. If we looked at in number 5 and B, occupying a vending location between 6 and a.m. or after 12, why do we not want them down there? Like, say, if they're going to set up there, they're going to bring it back the next day, and then trying to get trucks all coming in there, that if somebody wants to set there, you wouldn't leave them set there so they don't have to keep moving in and out. Why do we not want that there?
Well, I can't give you the answer
exactly,
but if we have an allowable bylaw that permits a truck or vehicle be parked there for whatever number of days, then whether it's open and used on that day is another issue. So where do you actually move your ability within the bylaw before it becomes unworkable? And that came through a recommendation of staff, I expect, for that purpose. Mike, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I think it's under previous bylaws, we hadn't instituted a time frame schedule for the operators. I guess looking at potential liability, parking of vehicles is an area that I guess we would look at it as well, but leaving these units on the property overnight, there's potential liability issues there as well. So, but is it? It currently isn't under the existing bylaw, but we are proposing time frames.
Okay. Yes, Councilor Fancy.
So, if I would try to do an amendment to this, would I don't want to do anything that's going to cause us grief, you know, that's the, yes.
The CAO, would you like to respond?
Again, we're looking at a mobile vending bylaw. I would have contemplated that if we're going to allow vendors to sit down and start renting land that we're under a hospices. This is really about mobile vendors coming in, going. So if you want to stay, you know, Mike can do a lease with you, and you know, we'll do a
okay,
lease
so there is a there's another avenue.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Just
good
to stay permanently.
And I guess just as a point of note, this doesn't apply strictly to mobile food trucks. This applies to all vendors, whether it's table, sidewalk vendors as well. So it's not specific to the mobile food vendors. So that leaving stands on sidewalks and things, that applies to those as well. So.
Yes, I have Councillor Fisnax.
Just a quick comment on the electrical being hooked up, wouldn't the fees over a period of a few years bring that money back to us?
Certainly, as far as the costing, the vendors, if they tie it into that system, are paying an additional fee for that, and that will be evaluated should council proceed with that option. That they, if we need to increase that fee based on usage, then we will revisit that. But I guess costing right now we don't know, but they are paying for that service.
And just one more comment. I see the monthly and yearly electrical hookup, $100 per month or $200 per year. How, what do you, the year is the 12 months?
That's correct.
Well, okay.
Any other councillor that hasn't spoken to this point that wants to? Okay, I'll open back up. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I just have, I don't want to cause a hardship with this motion, but why are we including the electrical panel in the original motion? That could be a separate motion altogether, Mike, because the only reference it has is in the description of providing power. That really could be a separate motion altogether. Is that possible?
I guess with the fee structure,
okay.
it ties it into setting a separate additional fee for.
All right. Secondly, with Councillor Felix's comments about the location up near the bridge as the prime waterfront location, I think the whole waterfront is a prime area, not just specifically next to the bridge. It gets utilized by general people usually when the mackerel are running down the river, you know, and that's a busy, busy, busy spot for a month or two in August and the early part of September. So there's a lot of activity down there, and those people park there, you know, they're close proximity to the little wharf there. But I think the waterfront is completely a prime area, completely from the brook right through to the bridge. So, and there's a lot more opportunity further down for families and people to utilize private chair park, which we've been really encouraging the general public to utilize more. So I think that location of this vending property or the location where these mobile vendors can set up would be an ideal location.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Johnson.
I had some grief with this as combining those two together. I think the electrical panel piece is huge in itself and needs more work as to what the end product is going to look like to enhance that whole waterfront. And it gives us an opportunity to focus in on the vending bylaw. I'm not sure of a procedure or protocol as to how to make an amendment to this, but I would like to see us take this thing in two pieces and work it from there.
I would caution that occurring on the basis that this is a bylaw. It's required to go through the province. There's a considerable amount of paperwork and effort to have that filed, to break the fee out for a vending truck with an electrical hookup causes it to go through the system twice. And I would ask Mike McLeod to explain that system to us.
Well, I guess as far as the adoption of the bylaw, I guess it's council's. The Municipal Government Act sets out the process that we have to follow: first reading, second reading, advertisements, and that sort of thing. So, so really, that's the process. I guess council ultimately decides whether or not to give second reading to the bylaw. It becomes law upon notification of passing of the second reading. So, far as, I guess, amending the motion, I guess, with the fee structure, I guess if there's, if and until there's the ability to tie in to an electrical hookup, those fees obviously wouldn't be able to be utilized. So if council were to remove that motion and deal with that down the road, I think that's there's potential with that. Really doesn't change the bylaw. I guess we just wouldn't be able to utilize that electrical hookup until such a time as there was that ability to do so.
As I understand, Councillor Johnson, if we were to remove the electrical panel and the fees applicable, that requires us to go through the bylaw process twice, two advertisings, to amend later.
If council wanted to go through it, I guess if this bylaw was adopted and at a future date it was they wanted to change that, then obviously it's got to go through the process twice. So I guess we're at the stage now where council has the option to give first reading and then we proceed through the process. But if it's if council doesn't obviously give first reading, then we're still at that stage of amending the draft to.
I'd ask Jennifer if she'd like to make a comment.
She's jumping out of her seat. Actually, a little bit different take on that. We've already passed the budget. We've all asked for that electrical hookup in the budget. So technically, we've already approved the installation of that electrical hookup. Yeah, there's fees involved in this bylaw pertaining to that electrical hookup. It's true, but we don't necessarily, this is actually redundant. We don't actually need a second approval for that electrical hookup in this vending bylaw. The fees tie into it, yes, but we've already approved the budget, and the budget includes that installation. We could remove it from the vending bylaw motion and allow the motion to go forward for a second reading for the bylaw.
Any more discussion, councilors? Are we ready for the question?
Yeah.
All those in favor of the amended motion? All those opposed? Okay, we have a 5-3. It is passed. Thank you. We will move on now to 14-0 reports. We have none filed today. Under 15-0 other, we have 15-1. Municipal agreements, municipality for the District of Shelburne. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the reciprocal building official shared service agreement and number two, emergency service municipal mutual aid agreement with the Municipality of the District of Shelburne.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councilor Phillip? CAO, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So these are a couple of reciprocal agreements with our neighbor really are just about improving resiliency capacity with our two municipalities. The building officials agreement is basically a cookie cutter of what was approved for us using theirs, and they simply asked, in same course that we have a reciprocal agreement, but there was a time in the future where the other way was around that they could use ours. So from a practical standpoint, where they have two and we have one, that's probably not going to happen very often, but we certainly would be happy in that. And on the EMO agreement, that's a standard agreement that municipalities will work with neighbors so that if there was a state of emergency, and bear in mind, we don't have these very often. I believe it's been 15 years since we've declared one here. It just simply means that a neighboring municipality can call on one another to get their resources. And from a practical standpoint, we would do that anyway. This just gives the agreement in place so that when their EOC might be up and running and we don't have an emergency and they need something, they can just make the call and make it so.
Any questions, comments, councilors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We'll move on to 15.